Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast from Live the Promise. There are many more podcasts available up on the website at myfaithradio.com, and your support makes this possible. Thank you. So much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Really glad you tuned in today. A very happy Friday to you. Well, here's my question for you today. Are you ready? When was the last time that God moved in such a tangible way that you were reminded that there is a God in heaven who means what he says, does what he does? This star-breathing God is intimately involved in your life. When was the last time? I mean, do you sense that you walk in his power and see his involvement in your everyday life? You know, as I'm thinking about and preparing for today's show, I'm so excited to have Leon Fontaine back with me again. I was thinking about the time when I was on a mission trip, and it was a group of us went to do a women's conference in Belize. And we were walking down this familiar road in the village where a lot of normally the families, the moms and the children would be out. And it was like in the break of day, no, the afternoon, it was early afternoon, that's what it was. And these women and I, we walked down this particular block. No women were out, no children were out, just several good clusters of men. And they were smoking things, you could smell them. The dogs were just raging and barking. One of the things we'd learned is dogs really respond to the demonic activity in these villages, in these third world countries. And they were all coming towards us, mumbling things under their voices. And we, just a few of us, are walking, knew we were in huge trouble. And of course, that struck fear in my heart. And somehow the girls, we just all held hands and just started to sing, "Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus." You know that old song? I wish I could break out and sing it to you now, but it's so beautiful. But we just started to sing, "We want to see Jesus." And peace came, and the dogs stopped barking, and they backed up. And the men looked so disappointed and frustrated, but they backed up. And it was like angels went ahead of us, drew their swords, and pushed back the powers of darkness and made a way, and we walked all the way to the little church in the village without harm. That was such a tangible expression of God's intervention. Of course, you've heard the story of my young son who had a football injury, severe back issue that would have followed him all the way into adulthood, was miraculously healed one night. Medical miracle at youth group. But then there's me. I'm still not healed. There's so much that I still haven't seen God break through, and I know there's more for us. In fact, my guest today, Leon Fontaine, says that there is more for us. In his book, The Spirit Contemporary Life, Unleashing the Miraculous in Your Everyday World, we're talking about this today because God has more for us. And we had such a response from when he was on last time that we had to get him back on. And second hour, you'll hear my conversation with Sheridan Voisey about his book, Resurrection Year. You know, when you've gone too long without seeing the sun and you've gone through a valley of the shadow, times of loss, how does God rebuild you and restore your soul? Well, Sheridan will talk about that on hour two. So let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Leon Fontaine is senior pastor of Springs Church, one of the largest interdenominational churches in Canada, with six campuses across two provinces. It's an amazing place. I've been there. Absolutely amazing place. He's CEO of Miracle Channel, Canada's only 24-hour Christian family network, and hosts The Leon Show, a daily interview program that airs in 150 countries. He also writes weekly articles in Winnipeg Sun newspaper and the Calgary Sun. He and his wife, Sally, have five amazing children who are passionately serving in ministry, and we're so honored to have him back with us today. Hey, Leon, welcome back to the program.
Hey, it's an honor to be back with you. We have a good time when we get together.
We definitely do. My faith gets stirred up. I know that, Leon. So we love to start out talking scripture, Leon, and I know you're a man who loves God's word. Wondering if there's a verse you've been thinking about these days.
You know, in the last number of years, God has taken me on this massive journey about the heart because he's a heart God. Mm. And one of the verses that everyone knows, but it just continues to touch me, is that one about guarding your heart with all diligence, because out of it is flowing the forces of life. And a lot of people, the forces are flowing out of heaven. They're coming out of someplace else. But with Jesus in the middle of us, I mean, in our hearts, it's just a really unique verse about, and I don't think it just means to just be guarding it, but I think to also be planting God's word. So that's been a verse that I have been really enjoying.
Boy, and isn't it something when you start to mine the treasures of Scripture, you think you've read something, you think you know something, even well enough to explain it, but when we're willing and humble enough to revisit, God helps us know it deeper. It's like he presses it down deeper into our soil, and then it bears even more fruit, you know?
Yeah, that's so true. The word just keeps, it just keeps giving life to new revelation. Like, we can learn something from it, and then another person, a friend, will share a thought that they see, and it just, the verses, they just seem to, like, pinball off each other, and more comes out. God is amazing, and his word's incredible.
So, so true. Now, I remember when I was out in Canada, up in Canada from down here. I'm used to being up north, but not so with you. And but we were backstage getting ready to be a guest on your show. And I think you had just finished writing The Spirit Contemporary Life. I can't even tell you what it meant to me, how you even described this whole idea. Because, you know, as someone, I had a pretty significant encounter with the Holy Spirit when I was in college. But then when I got out of college and saw some of the excesses, I distanced myself just because I was embarrassed by some of it, you know? And to hear you talk about the natural, supernatural way we really ought to walk with God so that we can relate to people, I thought, finally. I mean, I just hadn't ever heard anybody talk about it like this. So explain what you mean by the Spirit Contemporary Life.
Well, everyone speaks from their background, I think, and it kind of it points us in the ways we explain it. So my background is a very Pentecostal, charismatic group of churches. And so my parents, amazing leaders and miracles. But then there was a lot of people around me that they would just felt like God needed help. So they would exaggerate things. They would add a lot of Hollywood, a lot of pomp and circumstance to anything they felt God was doing. And it just turns off the next generation who really want authenticity. And it really turns off people who are kind of around watching it. And so I began to just cry out to God when I was a paramedic. And my dad had a little church that he couldn't really afford to hire me. So I was a paramedic. And I began to see the needs on the streets like I'd never seen before, from rapes to suicides to little children being horribly abused, even killed in accidents. I mean, you can just imagine. So I began to cry out to God, say, God, I need the miraculous, but I don't need it at the front of a church with a worship and praise team playing. I need it in a ditch where people are groaning, screaming, police are barking orders, and firemen are running around, and it's just a mess. And a lot of the times when we would pray with people for miracles, we would try to control the atmosphere, because if someone was chewing gum or a baby made noise at the back of the church, we were sure that it would just cause the presence of God to leave. And it was like God's presence was so touchy that it would just leave. And so I kind of began to think that way. But now I'm in ditch with firemen and policemen and screams and sirens, and I wanted to learn. God, I really believe your power works here. And so I began this journey of learning to minister in, some people call them the gifts of the Spirit. Some people call them just learning to listen to the Holy Spirit and let him flow through you, whichever your background terminology is. But then miracles begin to happen like I had never seen. They just exploded. And it was because I began to relook at the Bible, and I stopped putting on any kind of a show. I actually tried to just literally almost hide the miracles. I don't like this expression, but I tried to dumb them down, just not do anything that would exaggerate them. And it just caused miracles to happen even more. And so people would ask me, well, Leon, are you Spirit-filled? And I would say, yes. Oh, then you're not seeker sensitive. And I thought, I am that too. They said, oh no, you can't be both, because the seeker sensitive churches are very much against any kind of a display that's not cool. But then spirit filled churches are all about a show. And I said, no. So we finally had to get a term that we felt would be for people who wanted to absolutely be filled with his presence, and yet be cool and relevant and real, so that people will be attracted to us like they were to Jesus. And we called it, it was called basically Holy Spirit Spirit-filled but contemporary when dealing with people. So we just shortened it down to Spirit Contemporary. And everywhere I go, I am meeting pastors and leaders in the Christian world that say, that's what I want to be. Because no one wants to compromise when it comes to God's presence and his power. But no one wants to put on a show that isn't God. Or no one seems to want to just be ridiculous, embarrassing. We'd often say things that, well, I'll be a fool for Jesus, and I know we all will be. But yet, nowhere in the New Testament, after the cross, do I find any person putting on any kind of a show other than what the miracle itself did for the community watching.
And even when that happened, I think, was it Peter saying, why are you looking at me like this? This wasn't me. And I, you know, it was the Lord Jesus whom you crucified. And to me, that's so differently on then, which I so appreciated in your book. You're like, I'm not going to say, throw away your hearing aids and kick out your wheelchair. I mean, no. And why does that happen? Because it really does discredit those who just, you know, even if you are a sincere follower of Christ, but you've never been in that lane before, that's completely overwhelming. And yet your approach to come alongside someone, not make a show, is safe for the person who's in the ditch or at the coffee shop, not to mention not indoctrinated. So speak to that, if you would.
Well, the Spirit Contemporary life, when people maybe first look at it, everyone will kind of think, well, that's me. But as you dig into it, one of the things that really, I think, gives it a platform is that for the last 15 years, we've kind of been walking this out as a church. And to be Spirit Contemporary and with miracles. And so if I walk into it, like the other day I was with a church, there's a huge church in Fresno that just gets miracles, and I just taught there. It was just literally last night or two nights ago. And the miracles that took place, but they just love the Spirit Contemporary look, because now we don't have to just do it in church, but we can do it every one of us on the streets. And so the Spirit Contemporary life is not to pastors, yet they'll love it. It's to everyday people, so that that business person can be in a boardroom, and if he senses something from God, he's not compromising to pay attention to the unction of Holy Spirit or the nudging of Holy Spirit or the impressions Holy Spirit's giving you. You don't really need to declare to everybody that you hear from God, which, you know, if I would have said that in the hospitals, they would have actually locked me up on the seventh floor because that's where people who hear voices went in their mind. So I began to teach people how to use the Word of God and believe in Holy Spirit guiding you. One of the guiding verses that really began to change my life was pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts. And so when we pursue love, then it's not about pursuing a reputation, pursuing making yourself look good. Instead, it's about you love someone so much, you want God to touch them. And if he flows through you, wonderful. If he doesn't, you don't care. If you don't get any credit, it doesn't matter. It's the loving that person that makes you want to see them get touched. And so everywhere we went, we found that everyone was excited about this. Now, I think I kind of skipped over your question, Susie. What was your question?
No, you know what? And I framed it way too long, but what you said was absolutely perfect. We're going to pause here for a break. I'm talking to Leon Fontaine, host of The Leon Show, Unleashing the Miraculous in Your Everyday World. Title of the book is The Spirit Contemporary Life. We've got four copies of this great book, and the stories will fill your heart with faith. I'm telling you what. Email me if you want in on the drawing. And if you have a question, include that in your email. Susie@myfaithradio.com. That's Susie with an S. Susie@myfaithradio.com. Name, mailing address, Spirit Contemporary somewhere in that email. And if you have a question, include it there. I would love to get a copy into your hands. Don't go away. More with Leon Fontaine in a moment.
Again.
song. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to my friend Leon Fontaine about his amazing book, The Spirit Contemporary Life, Unleashing the Miraculous in Your Everyday World. And in the book, Leon talks about just this natural, supernatural way we can engage with the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit with everyday people in everyday life, so we don't have to frame things, God told me this, or make a big show out of God speaking to us. In fact, what I love, Leon, is how you often approach, when you're getting an impression from the Lord, you often approach this like, I could be wrong. I mean, and you're just humble and respectful in your approach. For instance, one of the stories was a guy that came to your door to deliver something, and you said he just had pretty rough looking, looked kind of like a, not that all motorcycle riders are rough looking, but this guy looked like he'd been around the block a number of times. And you took the delivery, and then you'd had a repression. The word suicide came to you. Tell us that story, if you would.
Yeah, you know, when we're in the churches that I was raised in, you know, and I don't actually knock them. I really feel like for the time, a lot of what was going on was beautiful. But if you really sensed God had an encouraging word for somebody, you would actually say that. I would watch many really wonderful leaders and pastors just say, you know, thus saith the Lord unto thee. And then they would deliver a message that was literally dead on the money, and I'd watch that person just tear up and go, wow, that was a word from God. So it's great in the church if you want to use like Elizabethan English for that terminology, but on the streets it doesn't work. And so this guy was, yeah, I was signing the sheet, and in this impression of suicide came up. And so I just looked at him as I handed him back the clipboard and said, just kind of quietly, just said, man, don't do it. And he was kind of caught by this word, and he says, what are you talking about? And pretty rough in his language. And I said, don't kill yourself, man. And he just, the shocked look came over his face, and he said, how did you know? And I said, well, is it true? And he said, this was my last call, and I was going to off myself right after this call. He said, how do you know that, though? And even then, I wanted to, well, you know, the Lord speaks to me is how we would normally have answered that in the church world that I came from. You know, but then again, it was about me, and I didn't want the focus to come on me. Wow, you hear from God. It's incredible. So instead, I just said, trying to keep it off of me, I said, you know, I'm not really sure how all this works, but God must really like you if he was to show me something like that. And I just kept it on him. And then we went for lunch. And I think that I know why you like I love these stories when we try to keep ourselves out, less of us, more of Jesus. And because a lot of people, they'd love to get the kudos, and then the person keeps coming back to them rather than developing their own relationship with God.
Boy, isn't that the truth? I've got to read this excerpt from that story from your book. And you said, I'm a Christian, maybe not the type you've encountered before, but I follow Jesus. Sometimes when I meet people God's trying to speak to, he'll show me things. Sometimes I miss it. But it looks like today I'd heard right. This is after you guys had the conversation. You'd went out to lunch.
Yep.
He was visibly shaken. It took him a minute to process what I was saying. When he was finally able to respond, he said, you really think God cares enough about me to tell you that? Then you say, I could see his heart was wide open, so I invited him to lunch with me. We had a great conversation about how much Jesus loves him just as he is. By the time we finished our meal, he'd given his life to Christ. And this is what I love. And it happened quite naturally. We heard no angels singing the Hallelujah chorus. I didn't get spiritual goosebumps. I didn't bind the spirit of suicide or command demons to flee in Jesus' name. I didn't have to recite 10 Bible verses or explain how dinosaurs fit with biblical history or engage in deep theological discussion. Holy Spirit opened a door into this man's heart, and all I did was follow his lead. I shared a very simple message. Jesus loves you, and anyone who knows Jesus could have done that. And that you believe with all of your heart. Anyone who knows and loves Jesus and follows the Holy Spirit can walk in that kind of an intimacy, can't they?
You know, they can. One of the things I'd love to talk about somewhere today would be just how to quieten your heart to hear from him. Because I think a lot of Christians, they don't understand that it's the gospel of peace. And until you have peace in your heart and know how to get it there every day, you can't hear his still small voice or the impressions he gives you.
So good. Well, you know, we've got about 3.5 minutes to the break, and we can carry it over to the other side if you're not finished. But why don't you go there to talk about just, yeah. I'm sure somebody's listening going, how do I walk and step with the Holy Spirit to that degree?
Well, the thing about peace is that most people have, that they live in fear, and they don't realize that they're in stress. And so when you're in stress or flight, now when you stay in stress, which is just fear, the blood in your body literally goes to your extremities so that you can run, fight, because that's what stress does. And it moves away from your organs, and it creates this havoc with your head. So people who don't realize they're stressed about their marriage, about their job, about everywhere they go, and or they're stressed about God is going to be allowing things because of their past or because of the sin in their life, and they're just not sure. So the most important thing I discovered for the first step as a Christian to begin to live and walk this life of the miraculous was the gospel of peace. It meant that God is at peace with me because Jesus took my sin, past and present and future, and that there was no curse coming my way, that God would never be in the storm. He would always be with me against the storm. And I would go into God's word until I found a peace that I knew and I could see, like Galatians 3:13, that Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law, and because he became a curse for me. And so as I would meditate in the verses that had to do with what took place at the cross, I specifically focused on things like, now there is no condemnation, that Jesus took all the wrath, God is not angry at me, that nothing in my future would be God in the storm or God allowing the storm, where then people have the impression that God's arms are crossed and he's not going to help you because he allowed this. Literally, a lot of the doctrines I had picked up over the years, I had to kind of push them aside until I realized that he would never leave me, and he would never forsake me, and that regardless of what went on, he would be with me. And then, from that point and on, a peace began to be on the inside. And, you know, if even though storms would come, because we know the world is filled with storms, but the storms never strengthened the house. They destroyed one on the sand. They couldn't shake the one on the rock. But the storms didn't drive the nails in deeper or glue the shingles on better. It was the carpenter that built the house ahead of the storm. And so I just began to go through much of God's word like that until I was at peace. And then I found out how to be at peace and joy. And now I could sense God clearly, whereas before I really couldn't. You know, I couldn't hear him because I was so stressed out about my own stuff and wondering about things going on. I think that's a real key because Romans 8 teaches us that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons and daughters of God. And I think what it's trying to say to us there is if you want to walk like an earthling, like a human being without Christ, that's easy. But if you want to walk like a son and daughter of God, the key is being led by his Spirit. But a heart that's not at peace and recognizing that Jesus, it's the gospel of peace, that until you realize that, you can't hear because of all the noise going on in your own heart.
You know, Leon, Scripture talks about let the peace of God rule and reign, and it's like serve as an empire, blow the whistle on the thoughts that take you out of peace. You're talking about fight flight, and I'm just learning from my own health challenges. When we're in fight flight, our own cells can't receive the nutrition of food. So I would imagine it's the same. When we're in fight flight, we can't even receive what God is providing. He's providing, but we're not receiving. Talk more about that with Leon Fontaine on the other side. Love you, Jesus. Thanks for tuning in. Love that song. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to my friend Leon Fontaine. And for our friends who listen in Canada, do you know, Leon, we've got friends who sit in their garage in their car because they can pick up the show with good reception in their car in the garage. So for our Canadian friends, especially talking to Leon Fontaine, who happens to be the CEO of Miracle Channel, Canada's only 24-hour Christian family network, author of this amazing book, Spirit Contemporary Life, you touched on something that I have so many more questions for you, but we've got to stop here for a moment because I think this is going to be revolutionary for someone. When we talked about why so few walk in the miraculous, you just said it really boils down to the peace of God, not ruling and reigning in our hearts. And as I talked to you last time, you know, walking through some of these health challenges, when our bodies are physically in fight flight, our physiologically, our cells shut down. So you could even have the best diet in the world and best disciplines. You won't benefit from them because your cell is shut down. And I just saw the parallel there where you were talking. It's like if we are in fight flight physically and spiritually, we could still be reading the word and trying to memorize scripture and it does to some degree. But if the peace of God's not ruling and reigning, we're not going to get the full benefit of what Jesus offers us.
Oh, that is so good. You know, as a pastor now, I've been with people when they passed away. And often, you know, and friends would be praying and they'd be praying. And a lot of times as they're getting close to the end, I would be with them. And when there was no family around, they'd say to me, Pastor. And then they'd start talking to me about what was going on deep in their heart that they'd never shared with their family. And I remember one woman saying that, you know, as a young girl, she'd had an abortion, and she just knows that it had something to do with that. And another guy telling me that he'd had an affair. And they begin to go through some of the things from their past that seems to interrupt their ability to walk in the miraculous. And over the years, to really be at peace, I found I had to help people deal with their stuff. And so here's how I would really help them. I would say, now, in the Old Testament, every promise in the Bible has an if. Every healing promise, every prosperity promise, every promise of protection, you'd always find an if somewhere, like Deuteronomy 28, if you obey my commands, these blessings will come upon you. And if you don't obey my commands, these curses would come upon you. And every promise had an if. So everybody in the New Testament who wasn't understanding the cross would think it was the same. But there's so many beautiful verses, like the one we mentioned about Jesus took the curse for us. But there's one in 2 Corinthians 1 that is just stunning that I'd love to read to everybody if I could.
Mm-hmm.
And it's from the Voice Bible, but this one just clears up a little bit more. It says, because our God is always faithful to his promises, our word to you was not both yes and no. Yes, I'll come, and then no, I've changed my mind. For the Son of God, Jesus, the Anointed One, whom Silvanus, Timothy, and I have preached to you, he was not both yes and then no. With him, the answer is always yes. In Jesus, we hear a resounding yes to all of God's many promises. So people often say, when they begin to look at things in their life, or they haven't given enough, they haven't been nice enough this week, and they need a miracle from God, why would he heal me when he knows what I'm like and how angry I can get? And they begin to go through, they actually are looking to qualify themselves. And so I tell people, you can't qualify yourself. If you lived perfectly your whole life, you wouldn't make enough power to cure a headache. So Jesus, he is the one that we look to. And so the Bible says all the promises are in him, yes and amen, for the glory of God through us. And so I began to help people deal with their broken hearts, the guilt, the condemnation. You know, in the Old Testament, really cool is any time somebody was righteous before God, miracles exploded. God went before them in battle. He was their rear guard. And isn't it interesting that for the new convert today in Romans, it says that when you are in Christ, that righteousness is a gift. So if righteousness is a gift, then we don't have to qualify for the miracles. I mean, some people even think that faith is qualifying for the miracle. And I had to jump into this about faith, too, and realize that faith is not believing God can heal. Faith literally is believing in the finished work of the cross, which means Jesus qualified me. He took the curse. He took the wrath. And even though I don't deserve it, it's mine as a free gift. And when people begin to meditate in those kinds of scriptures, it deals with the fear, with the sense of guilt and condemnation. And they have to, and if they've had it a long time, I just tell them, marinate in these scriptures, that you're free from the curse, that you have an abundance of grace because of the gift of righteousness. And then I find that person will be able to break through in every area. Like today we're talking a lot about sickness because that was a lot of my learning as a paramedic. But then as a pastor who needs millions of dollars for churches and millions of dollars for TV and then for our private school, I had to learn to believe God for finances, believe God for relationships. And what's beautiful about the Spirit Contemporary Life is that it's not specifically focused at only one kind of miracle. It's showing us how to take our hearts to a place that Jesus intended it to be, at peace. No condemnation, no guilt. And to believe isn't to believe God can heal, because the devil believes God can heal. Doesn't do anything for him. It's to believe that Jesus qualified me for the miracle is the focus of our faith.
Well, Leon, you do, as you said, have so much on your plate, and it really wasn't just born overnight. It's from the abiding life and trusting God and walking it all out. But the fact is, you carry a lot and you lead, large ministries. How does the enemy try to bait you out of peace, and how do you stand against it? Just give us a practical example, if you don't mind, so we can kind of learn from how you're doing it.
Well, you know, when it comes to us as human beings, we don't like the unknown. So very few people will continue to grow an area of their life. They will reach a certain place that they kind of are capped. It could be their relationship, their health, could be finances or a business, because they can kind of see themselves at that level, but they've never really experienced or seen something beyond there. So we tend to move away from the unknown because we think it's going to hurt us. And so as I begin to recognize that, then I begin to work, as I got peace in my heart, the next step I begin to work at was trusting God. Because Jesus said, follow me and I will, and then he'll lead us. You know, when it's interesting, when someone is walking through landmines, who knows where they are, they will tell the people behind them, put your feet in my steps and nowhere else. And so when Jesus leads us into the unknown, into the future, as we're building churches, as we're looking at expanding television, and we're around the world in multiple languages, now and in Muslim languages, everything requires money. Do we want to do this? What's going to happen? I had to always go back to, I've never been this way before, so it begins to raise a lot of fears of not enough money, are people going to do something against me in these countries, and all this stuff rises up. And the only way I can find peace as a Christian is to say, anything God asks me to do, Jesus was already there, setting up the circumstances, dealing with people's hearts, preparing. And so I need to trust him in my future. And that's where until I got the peace when it comes to judgment and condemnation, then when I got, that's when all of a sudden I can trust Jesus. He will guide me and lead me. And now I still had to learn systems and structures and finances and corporate issues and, you know, dealing with banks and working with lawyers and working with people when I want to buy properties and lands. I would develop a lot of skills to add them to the gifts God gave me. But I found that when I begin to, anywhere in my life where I begin to plateau, it's never the devil who has enough power to stop me. It's not God withholding it from me. It's simply me. And never been this way before. And I'm plateauing. And I just need to get back into God's word, trust Jesus, that in the steps that are ahead of me, he's been there before me. And I do that literally, I tell you, Susie, every day. I don't know how people do it, but I seem to have to immerse myself every day in verses that show me that it's God's grace on my life because of Jesus. And then it's not about me. You know, the reason that the Bible says pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall isn't because God hates proud people and he nails them. It's because the second we get into pride, we're relying on self. All the peace of God leaves our heart. And if we get haughty about how good we are, we no longer have his peace because we have our own strength and we're trusting in ourselves. And even if you've got the ability to go for a while, you will hit the end of your rope. But if we trust him. And so for me, I will spend a lot of time reading the scripture, thanking him, and reading the scripture out loud. And the very ones that I'm reading and I put in my book, I'll go back to them often and just thank him that I am forgiven, that it's not because of my ability that I'm looking to the future. It's God's grace freely given me. I don't have to be afraid of the unknown, because Jesus has been there, and he is leading me into the unknown. If there's one guy on the planet I don't mind following into any situation, it would be Jesus. And I think the same way. I can sense when we talk, you need Jesus, you need the word.
Such good word, such good stuff. We're going to be taking our final break here in a minute, but Donna writes in and says, When I went on a mission trip to South Africa, I learned that they regularly experience miraculous healings. How can we get that phenomena working here in the U.S.? What say you? I mean, you've already touched on it, Leon, but the reality is anybody who travels to third world countries, they also see very tangible evidence of spiritual warfare. And I think that's why Christians are so dependent on Jesus for his intervention because of that reality. But I'd love for you to add to that.
All right.
Oh, you want to do that now?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Let me come back.
So sorry. Yes, so sorry. How about you do that now, and then we'll take a break. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. You know, whenever I'm in other countries, you know, Jesus says something really interesting to a man that tried to get the disciples to minister to his son who would throw himself into the fire and try to drown himself. I can't think of a thing that would break a dad's heart more than a son continually trying to kill himself. And he was burnt, and he was almost drowned, the Bible says. And so he couldn't. And he came to Jesus. And Jesus just told him that it wasn't about Jesus' faith. He said, all things are possible to him who believes. And he takes, and he says in another place, he says that according to your faith, so be it done to you. As I began to walk this out years ago, because I wanted to see miracles, I began to recognize that every Christian has the measure of faith, and that if you can't seem to exercise faith in an area, the devil is not more powerful than the faith that Jesus has given us, because he's all given us all the measure. But actually, what the enemy will try to do is he'll try to raise up misbeliefs in our heart. And so a misbelief isn't that you don't have faith, it's that you're believing the wrong thing. And until you deal with that misbelief, you will come to a stop. So in looking at myself, give you an example with me. I was raised with a group of pastors where they believed that large churches weren't of God, and that when a church hit a couple hundred, it should never get big. It was only about the ego of the pastor, that churches compromised, that great big ministries weren't. They literally believed they weren't of God, and I believed that too. Now, when I look at my life today and the hugeness of some of the things we're doing, I could never have seen God do that if I wouldn't have dealt with that misbelief. Because as soon as anything got bigger, my belief would be, this is not God. And I would have walked away or ratcheted it down. And so the beliefs of the hearts of people are established in their upbringing. So, you know, aren't even responsible for the beliefs of our heart, because the Bible says train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's older, he can't depart from it. So the beliefs that come from culture, religion, parents, grandparents, coaches, heartache, rapes, abuses, things that have hurt us, they seem to indelibly print on our heart beliefs like, I'm stupid, I'm not beautiful, I could never do that, you know, God, I could never. And so these beliefs, and the heart is kind of where we, it's where our identity, it's where our self-worth is. It always has to do with us. And so for me, every time I run into a situation where I see even demonic power, when I look at spiritual warfare for me, and you know what, everyone's got different ideas, so if anyone doesn't agree, they can just, you know, that's fine. But for me, I know that if there's a warfare going on, it's going to be for me in my own heart to get to a place of knowing that this can happen and that God will use me there. And when I begin to do that, every situation of my life, from sickness to finances to whatever, even demonic involvement, I just quickly just be at peace, meditate, and then in my heart, I believe that fasting affects your heart. I believe prayer affects your heart. I believe you can speak at demons all you want, and if you don't believe it in your heart, I'm not going to listen to you anyway. And so for me, much of what I do is to recognize that there's nothing that can stop the word of God in a human being's heart. I had a guy one time attack me with a tire iron in front of a number of men, and he was running at me with his tire iron screaming. He was obviously demon-possessed, and all I did was say, in Jesus' name. And he literally dropped the tire iron in front of this group of guys and turned and ran, and he was one of the city tough guys. And I didn't have time at that point to go fast or to go do spiritual warfare. I just literally addressed him instantly because I'd already spent time in God's Word. I believe as we meditate on God's Word and we become who we is, we're not trying to be who we're not, that as you become stronger in his Word, the Bible says establish our hearts, that anywhere we go. And on the mission field, I don't find any of these people have well-developed misbeliefs. They don't have well-developed unbelief. They don't have anything. They just, yeah, fine, your God heals. I'm cool with that. And so kind of like Peter walking by the rich man, not the rich man, but the crippled man at the gate, and he said, give me silver and gold. And Peter says, I don't have any, but what I have I give you. And the man looked at him expecting. If we can get people to expecting, it's amazing the miracles. But in my mind, when I'm in the other countries, they don't have well-developed misbeliefs.
Wouldn't that be great for us as well? Maybe you're listening today and you've hit a wall. You don't have a fresh vision of where God wants to take you in your health, maybe even in your finances, in your ministry, your marketplace work, in your marriage with your children. Get a vision. Maybe I believe God has a next place of promise for you. When we come back, we're going to hear a few more amazing stories from Leon's book, The Spirit Contemporary Life. Email me if you want in on the drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Name, mailing address, Spirit Contemporary somewhere in that email. And we will be back in a minute. Happen if every single believer that walks the earth today looked up and pursued a heart of peace, as Leon Fontaine was talking about, really letting that be a priority. Since Scripture says, let the peace of God rule and reign in your life. I've read that that translates that the peace of God is like an umpire that blows the whistle every time your thoughts depart from anything that's out of line with the will of God. But what if we cultivated such a heart of peace that our spirit eyes opened up and we had an expectancy that everywhere we look, God's at work, and he wants to work in and through us. I mean, what would happen on the earth today? Well, that is why I'm talking to my friend Leon Fontaine about his amazing book, The Spirit Contemporary Life, Unleashing the Miraculous in Your Everyday World. And I love this book because it really makes it so naturally supernatural to come alongside people, love them where they're at, kind of get rid of the Christianese, to just come alongside them and follow the lead of the Spirit and share his love, God's love, with people. And Leon, even your picture of, you know, you were raised in this great church where you were privy to see great miracles, but you were in the trenches as a paramedic of people who've been in the ditches and in these accidents. I feel like, Leon, God was giving you firsthand experience of what the church actually is, because we might all dress up real nice on Sundays, but everybody's in some kind of ditch if they're or getting out of one, but they're brokenhearted, they're bleeding, but we just paint it up real good. So we've got to know not only how to minister to those who don't have the lingo outside the church, but to be sensitive to those who are inside the church who maybe look good but are dying on the inside.
Mm-hmm. That's so true. You know, I find that if the enemy can get us off, if he can get us fighting the wrong battles, you know, when Israel was fighting for its independence, you know, or in the early 1900s there, the Israelis would go build tanks out of cardboard, and they would put them all through the hills, and the enemy would spend all their time shelling cardboard tanks.
Wow.
And I feel sometimes that if the enemy, because he sometimes comes as an angel of light or an angel of the word, trying to get us off focus, and some people, whenever they can't get results, they always think it's demons. Others, when they can't get results, they always think it's a reluctant God. Others, when they can't get results, feel they have to manufacture more faith. But there's a really cool verse that really helped me change, and it was Galatians 2:20, where it says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in this flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And it says, so I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. When I read that, what jumped out to me was, I live this life with faith in the Son of God who gave himself for me, which points us to the cross. And any time I just find things not going my way. I have a tendency to feel it's demons. And of course, we know there are demonic influences in our world. But Jesus taught us that he has dealt with the enemy. And now it's whatever we bind on this planet that is bound. It's whatever we loose that is loosed. And people often say to me, well, I just need to do what God's will is. I said, well, Jesus taught us in the prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Paul in Colossians 1:29, he says, to this end I also labor, striving. Okay, now what was Paul striving at? According to his working, which works in me mightily. So Paul did a phenomenal thing, and he says what he was always striving for was the working of God on the inside. He was establishing his heart in the Word, sensitive to the Holy Spirit within him. He wasn't even worried. We don't even find him addressing demons very often after the cross. We don't even find him doing a lot of the things that Christians would do to try to get results. But here he's talking about the mystery of the gospel, which is Christ in us. And I guess if there's one thing I just sense God leading us in today from what you've been saying and I've been saying is that it's not about what's taking place outside of you. It's what's going on inside us, in our heart. Establish our heart in the grace of God because of the cross. Believe in Jesus, whatever season you're in. And this next season can be one of miracles. And if you can kind of just deal with this area of finding this peace, trusting God, knowing that every promise has been settled for you, you can walk into this area of his yoke being easy, his burden being light. And this whole spirit contemporary life that we're talking about is actually an ease of miracles. Or if you, the word miracles puzzles some people, but an ease of God's presence assisting us in every area of our lives.
And when he's working, when the Holy Spirit is working in and through us in these supernatural ways, giving us impressions that we'd otherwise not know, which is so biblical because Scripture says he confides in those who fear him. He tells us secrets and things the rest of the world doesn't know. When we walk in that, others are blessed. Others are nourished. Others, their lives, the trajectory of their lives are changed, as the guy who came to your door who was planning to commit suicide. I mean, there is a purpose for building up the church, for seeking out the lost. And again, I think we've missed the point when we've seen it be such a big show, we throw the baby out with the bathwater, where we're like, I don't want any part of it. But God invites us to this kind of walk, doesn't he?
He sure does. It's, you know, I would really encourage people, I think there's a lot of bored Christians out there who are looking at other things because they've gotten bored with their Christianity, because literally the gospel is something we should be using. So if everybody listening would just pray this prayer, just say, today, God, what can I do for you? If you would pray that prayer every morning, if the Bible says in Matthew 6:30, people seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, all these things will be added to us that we worry about, you know, money and finances and houses and healing. But everywhere we go, and my life just radically changed. Every day I'd get up and I began to put my antennas up and go, God, what can I do for you today? Yes. And it was amazing as he'd nudge me towards someone for a conversation, or help that guy change the tire, or stop at that person in the waiting room of the hospital and just chat and encourage him. And all of a sudden, it would rise into one of the most amazing miracles, simply because I was alert with a hearing ear to Holy Spirit saying, what can I do for you?
Leon, I got to tell you, the Father is very fond of you. I'm telling you something you already know, but you're a son that he loves. And we just have a bit left of time, but wondering if you'd pray for each of us that we would rise up in that kind of faith and just knowing that Jesus wants to work in and through us.
Praise you, Jesus. Father, you love your people. And the enemy would try to fool them into feeling condemned, to feeling judged. I pray that today, with our time together with Susie and I, that they'd have heard your word and your spirit, and they'd realize they're so loved, they're so forgiven, you're not mad at anybody. And let today be the start of a journey of believing and hearing you, and let the rest of their life be this incredible journey, I pray. So, Father, let the spirit of wisdom and of revelation and the knowledge of you be upon them in Jesus' name.
Amen. Dear Leon, bless you for all that you do, and thanks for giving us time today.
It was great talking to you again, Susie. God bless.
Just love it. Title of his book, The Spirit Contemporary Life. And don't go away, because Hour 2 is up next.